certainly am. Okay, I'll just pray for God's word. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask you please to open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from out of your word. To open our ears, Lord God, to hear, and our hearts to receive, Lord God, and then give us by your Spirit the willingness to act on what you say. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Is that a bit loud? No? Well, it'll be whenever I start shouting. Okay. Anyway, Dave spoke last week about the altar of incense in the temple or in the tabernacle of the Jews, where the priest offered incense to God. Now, and that was in the holy place. If you can remember, you come in through the door into the court, and then you went through the court, and you would have seen in front of you was the altar for sacrifice, and beyond that was the laver, and then the priest went into the holy place, and you would have had the table of showbread and lampstands, and there would have been an incense altar as well, and he offered the incense, and it filled the holy place, but it also permeated into the Holy of Holies. And it filled, in that sense, the entire holy and holy of holies places with a beautiful fragrance. And such a contrast, as I was saying at the Bible study on Wednesday night, such a contrast from the outer court that I just mentioned of the temple, where animals were being offered as sacrifices unto the Lord. You know, a contrast from the noise and the blood and the guts and the pungent smells. I was talking on Wednesday night and saying, you know, for anybody who had the misfortune to be near the abattoir in Ava Street or just off Ava Street in the summertime years ago, it was minging. The smell of it was disgusting. And I was a butcher in those days, and we would have had to go up to collect our meat and stuff. And it was stinking, and I never liked to go too near it because it was bogging. Or if you'd have been going through Main Street and suddenly the bone lorry came past. And I don't know if you remember that, but the bone lorry was rank. And as it went past, and the smell, as soon as it went into your nostrils, you couldn't have got rid of it for a long time. It was stinking. So you can imagine the sort of contrast that I'm trying to present here from the outer court of the temple, where animals were being sacrificed unto the Lord. There was all of the noise and the squealing of the animals. I was talking about how some of the cows, even at Ava Street, would have bolted and ran down the Clandeboy Road to get away. You know, there would have been all of that noise and blood and guts and stink and smells associated with these sacrifices. But then to be the priest who would enter into the holy place where the fragrance of the incense filled the air. As Dave said, the altar of incense is regarded as a forgotten item or just an add-on. But in fact, it too, like all of the other things within the tabernacle, it too was a shadow of that which was to come, or certainly of that which was above. And we read, and in our declaration this morning, we saw that the incense symbolized the prayers of the saints as a sweet aroma unto the Lord. And I wonder, when you're praying, do you think like that? That as you're praying, even though sometimes when you're praying and it says that in the Bible that the heavens seem like brass, you think that your prayers aren't getting beyond your ceiling. God's word says that your prayers are a sweet aroma unto the Lord. Now, I want to read a verse this morning that at the start might seem out of context to what I have to say. And the context first on this part is Jesus has been arrested. He has been taken to be questioned by the high priest and the elders of Israel. So he's being taken to Caiaphas's courtyard. And it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 58, and it's only one verse, but it's an important verse to what I want to say this morning. And it says this, "But Peter followed him," speaking of Jesus, "but Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard." But Peter followed him at a distance. Now, remember this as we look at our subject this morning, dwelling in the presence of God. Since the death, resurrection and ascension of Jesus. We've been looking back, and I certainly hope now with different eyes, at the significance of the items or the articles in the tabernacle or the temple to see how they all pointed us to God's anointed one who would come to open up the way for us to approach God. It was always, always, always in the heart of God to allow us to approach him. God just didn't come up with this wee plan once Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. Oh, what am I going to do with this? They've just made a mess of everything. I'll have to think of something. God always had this plan because it was always in the heart of God to allow us to approach him. But it could only be done by God's appointed way. And we know in this world today, you know, you don't have to walk too far from here and you will see places where people try to approach God, but it is not in God's appointed way. Or you can see, like people speak of the Jews, that where there are people who are zealous for God, but their zealousness is grounded in untruth. It's always in the heart of God for people to approach him, but it can only be done by God's appointed way. Jesus, the Son of God, came not only to open the way, but to show that he alone is the only way to God. So therefore, anyone, it doesn't matter whether you're in Bangor, doesn't matter whether you're in Outer Mongolia, it doesn't matter where you are, anyone who wants to approach God must come to God through Jesus. Not through priests, not through saints, not through Virgin Marys, not through offering sacrifices or anything like that. Nothing whatsoever. The only way that you can approach God, and this is based on what Jesus himself said, the only way that anyone who wants to approach God can do so is they must come through Jesus. There is no other sacrifice required to satisfy God's legal demands. The sacrifice of Jesus is enough. There is no other means of cleansing from sin. The blood of Jesus is enough. There is no other way to be made holy. The imputed righteousness of Jesus is enough. There is no other legal or ceremonial requirement. Active faith in Jesus is enough. Because of Jesus, our high priest, who offered himself perfectly for sin, who came out from behind the veil of death, demonstrating God's acceptance of his offering on our behalf. Because of Jesus, who opened the way to God, we can confidently approach God, knowing he'll accept us with an open hand, as Keith was saying, and a willing heart. God wills us to approach him. Do you hear that? God wills us to approach him. So if you ask, what is God's will? He wills us to approach him. We're going to turn to some verses now in Hebrews. We'll begin in Hebrews chapter 4, if people want to follow this with me. Hebrews chapter 4, reading from verse 14. And the writer says this, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly," or as other versions say, "let us therefore draw near to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Turn over now to chapter 7. And we'll read verses 24 and 25. Speaking of Jesus, it says this, "But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost." There is no doubt that Jesus can save. "He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God," or another version says, "those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." turn over to chapter 10. The writer continues, chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Shoot across to chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God, or he who draws near to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And turn over a few pages to James. And in James chapter 4, verse 8, James says this, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, in light of those verses, and I don't want anybody to answer unless you're absolutely confident. In light of those verses, what do you think the Word of God is trying to tell us here? Is it telling us, or telling those who have trusted in Jesus, for God's sake, keep your distance from God? For God's sake, keep your distance from God. Is that what it's telling us? Could it be warning us that God is so holy, if we go near him, we will be killed? Well, maybe perhaps it's emphasizing our need to get all the legal, religious, or moral conditions in our lives exactly right before even considering to approach God. Do you think that is what God's Word is saying? Okay, I want you to imagine for a moment. Try to imagine this. Imagine you're an ordinary Jewish man or woman who've got a brass neck. You're an ordinary Jewish man or woman who foolishly manages to sneak past the priests in the tabernacle or in the temple, and you've managed to get into the holy place in the temple. And there before you, right in front of you, is the veil that separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Now, we know that the high priest, if he gets it wrong, will be struck dead when he goes in there, and he can only go in one day a year. If he gets it wrong, he's struck dead. In fact, he's pulled out with the rope that's tied around his ankle because nobody can go in to recover his body. So you've sneaked in, you've got right into the holy place. There in front of you is the veil. And you know beyond that veil is the Ark of the Covenant. Let me ask, would you dare go beyond the veil? Or look or touch the Ark of the Covenant? Imagine that. So you've managed to get past the priest. You may have even dressed up as a priest. And you've got in there, and there before you is the veil separating the holiest of holies. In light of what we've been talking about and what we know, would you dare go beyond the veil? Or imagine yourself as the person who is, and I know it's hard for you women to understand this, but imagine yourselves as the person who is appointed as high priest. So let's say even that a woman here at this point could be high priest for a moment. Imagine that you have been appointed as the high priest of Israel, and the Day of Atonement has arrived. Now, that is the one day in the year when the high priest was permitted to enter the Holy of Holies and offer the blood of the sacrifice to atone for the sins of Israel. Now think about this. Would you not be a wee bit nervous Would you not make absolutely certain that everything was done properly to ensure going beyond the veil didn't mean sudden death for you? You see, when you go back, Moses, when he ascended Mount Sinai, for example, to meet with God, the people were warned not to go near even the very mountain that he climbed, nor to set foot on it, lest they die. Even an animal, if it had gone near the mountain, would have had to die. Such is the holiness of God. Such was the presence of God coming down to meet Moses on the mountain that God said to Moses, listen, you're coming up here, but warn the people, anybody touches this mountain, they're dead. When King David sought to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence with Israel, to bring it up to Jerusalem, it was being carried on a cart pulled by oxen. And when the oxen stumbled, a man called Uzzah reached out to save the ark from falling. And the moment he touched it, he was killed. God's presence is powerful. God's presence can consume us in a moment. And yet we're told God is love. But he is also a consuming fire. And he is to be feared. He is holy, and his holiness will consume any unholy thing that comes near him. That's why the high priest had to get it right. That's why there's no record in the Bible of any mad Jewish man or woman flying past the priests to go into the holy place and to look beyond the veil. It didn't happen because the people feared God. They knew that his holiness would just wipe them out in a moment. Do you believe that God is holy and that he is to be feared? Do you? And yet, the message that we have been given is draw near to God. Let us come boldly, draw near to the throne of grace. Let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near to God, believing in him. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. How is this possible? How can things be so very, very different now? Well, because Jesus, our high priest, offered himself perfectly as a perfect sacrifice for our sin, God has accepted his offering, and by his death and resurrection and ascension, Jesus has now opened up the way for us to approach God. Now, just as God has much more for us, much more than we get from standing at the altar or cross bemoaning our sin, so God wants much more from us. And I'll say that again. Just as God has much more for us, much more than we get from standing at the altar or standing at the cross bemoaning our sin, so God wants much more from us. So what do you think the much more is that God wants from us? Obedience? No. Faithfulness? Absolutely not. Service? Nope. Maybe he wants gifts and offerings? Nope. Self-sacrifice? Self-denial? No. You see, these are all very, very important, and they're beneficial in our walk with God. Obedience brings blessing. Faithfulness brings blessing. Service brings blessing. Gifts and offerings unto the Lord bring blessing. Self-sacrifice and self-denial bring blessing. But there's something God desires from us more than any of these. In fact, more than anything. Do you know what it is? God desires above all things that you and I draw near to Him. In other words, God desires that we dwell in His presence. It has always been the heart of God that we draw near to Him. His hand is always outstretched to receive us. His heart is always willing to embrace us. God wants you and me to dwell in His presence at all times. He loves us and He wants us to enjoy drawing near to Him and He drawing near to us. God wants close, intimate fellowship, close, intimate communion with us. He wants that close, intimate fellowship, that close, intimate communion with you this morning. He doesn't want us to be afraid to come into His presence. He wants us to enter in boldly, confidently to enjoy Him and find our strength and our help in Him. You see, too many Christians are afraid to draw near to God because they believe the lies of the devil, who tells them they're not properly prepared or they're not worried, not worthy to draw near to God. And a bit like Peter, who loved Jesus but for his own safety kept his distance, so many Christians follow the Lord at a distance, too afraid to enter into the fullness of what He has for them. Let me say this again. There is nothing God desires more from you than to have you dwell in His presence, to draw near to Him. He delights in you this morning. He loves you and He wants you to draw near to Him. Our confidence in drawing near to God, our having, as I said before, the brass neck to draw near to God, is not founded upon our love for the Lord. Or dare I say, it's not even founded upon His love for us. It's founded and grounded upon the finished work of Jesus, our great high priest, who offered Himself on our behalf and through whom the way to God has been opened. And God is saying to us this morning, I can't do anything else. I've opened up the way. Now I want you to draw near to me because I love you and I delight in you and I rejoice over you with singing. And he said, oh, but I'm a bit afraid. What do you want me to do? God says, I've opened up the way. There is nothing to be afraid of. We don't have to be like that person who sneaks into the holy place and wonders, should I go beyond the veil? The veil is gone. And God says, come to me. Come to me. I rejoice in you. I love you to dwell in my presence. God loves us just to be there. Our ability to draw near to God is simply because of Jesus, who as a man is seated at God's right hand, and He bids us all draw near to my Father and your Father. Draw near and drink from the sweet wine of His love. Christian, don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't settle for a life of following the Lord from a distance. Do what God desires of you and has made possible for you. Draw near to God. Dwell in His presence. And he promises you he will draw near to you. God loves you and delights in you. He rejoices over you with singing. And I struggle with that verse. I struggle with that truth, to think that when Taddy Gordon is entering into the presence of the Lord, that God is rejoicing. But that's what God's word says. He rejoices over us with singing. Please, Christian, don't seek to walk with the Lord and to follow the Lord at a distance. Draw near, because he's opened up the way and his arms are wide open to receive you. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't settle for a life of following the Lord from a distance. Do what God desires of you and has made possible for you through Jesus. Draw near to God. Dwell in his presence. Enjoy him. And he will draw near to you and enjoy you. Maybe you're here this morning, or you're listening to our podcast, and you're not yet a Christian. Well, I need to tell you that God loves you very, very much. And he wants you too to draw near to him. But you can only do this through Jesus. There is no other way. Please don't fool yourself into thinking there is some other way. There is no other way to draw near to God except through Jesus. And out of his love for you, God commands, and it's a command in love, he commands you to repent, to turn around from living your life your way and turn to him. You see, unbelievers may only know of God or about God in that sense from a distance. But to draw near to him and enjoy him, you must come to God personally. And that is only possible through Jesus. So let me ask, Christian and unbeliever, will you draw near to God today? Or will you keep him at a distance? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for your word this morning. Lord, you have emphasized over and over and over again the love that you have for us, how you delight in us, how you rejoice over us with singing, and how you bid us to draw near to you. Father, thank you that that's possible because of Jesus, that we don't have to fear sudden death drawing near to you, that we don't have to be afraid to approach the throne of grace. Thank you that because of Jesus, we can confidently draw near to you and know that you, Lord God, will draw near to us. Help us today, Lord, to draw near to you and drink from the well of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.